Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a logical question. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? There has to be a cause, doesn't there? And it seems that there are only two possible answers. It was either the man or his parents. God is fair, right? This man wouldn't have something in his life that he doesn't deserve. God is fair, right? I've earned everything that I have. Everything good in my life is his reward to me, right? That's what Eliphaz thought and spoke as he counseled his friend Job, as he lay in his misery during one of his many afflictions. That's what the disciples assumed when they came to this man and encountered him. It's how the religious leaders taught about sin. Did you hear what they said in the text to the man? You were born in utter sin and you would teach us? You see, they think they're righteous. It's still the way many churches teach people to think today. If you just had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. If you just did what God wanted you to do, then he would bless you in this life. What about all the prophets? Did they not please God? Their lives ended in death, martyrdom. What about the disciples, the apostles, who preached and taught God's word? Did they live joyful lives? They were cut down, speaking Christ's name. You see, the problem with this kind of thinking is it's not true. It is not what God teaches us in his word about how he works in judgment or with sin. It's a theology of glory that these men, these people, this friend of Job were teaching. God did not punish this man for some sin in utero, nor was the man born blind because of some sin of his parents. Neither is it true that the good you have in your life is because you have somehow earned it from God by holy living or by a sinless life. Because you know that isn't true. Then the right question here is not, did this man sin, or did his parents sin? The right question should be, why is God merciful to any of us? Why aren't we all blind? All have sinned and deserve suffering and death. Why has God blessed me or anyone else in any way at all? Jesus says it was not this man that sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. You see, it's not about the man or his parents at all. It's not even really about sin. Of course, the man is a casualty of sin, and his suffering in this life is greater than the suffering of many people who are also under sin. But this man's life is about to become something more. It's about to become another example, another place where God would work his work, his recreative work, the work of his good creation. It's another place where the light would be revealed, shining in the darkness. And in this text, our eyes too are opened so that we can see that physical blindness is not the only kind of blindness, that spiritual blindness affects so many more than the blindness that afflicted this man who was born blind. This text will not let you come to any conclusions about the moral conditions of another person, positive or negative, of a person greatly afflicted or of a person greatly blessed. You cannot judge how God is dealing with a person by what you see in their lives. We are all equally sinners before God. We are all equally condemned under God's law. There is no one righteous, not even one. And yet God did not send his Son to save those who were righteous. God sent his Son to save sinners. He sent his Son to open the eyes of the blind, to open the ears of the deaf, to heal and to save. Jesus died for all people, even the ones who think that they deserve his mercy, or for the Pharisees who didn't think they needed a savior at all. The popular preachers of this age are theologians of glory. They seek glory in themselves, in this life. They are not theologians of the cross. They do not need a Jesus who goes to the cross and dies. They certainly don't want a God who lets things that are painful come into our life so that his glory can be revealed in us. They will continue to wrongly teach that if you had enough faith, you will get better. They will continue to wrongly say that if you're happy and healthy and wealthy, then God must be pleased with you. But if you aren't happy and healthy and wealthy, if your life isn't all filled with bubbles and joy all the time, then God must be angry at you. Talk about the blind leading the blind. They have eyes to see, but they cannot see. And anyone who follows them will fall into the same pit. The father of our synod here in America paraphrases Luther, and he has this very sobering thought in mind when he writes about this exact text. He says, "It is certainly true that on the last day, many will be surprised when God will stand before them and recount to them all the Sundays on which he stood ready to absolve them, while they would not believe him and thus made him into a liar. They will see that they have often stood at the very gate of heaven and refused themselves to enter." If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why aren't we all born blind? Why does God bless any of us? If unbelievers could only see what you see with the eyes of faith, that as you hear the absolution, as you pass by the font, stand at the Lord's altar eating and drinking in faith, that you stand in the Lord's presence because of his mercy, and you hear him as he welcomes you into his kingdom. Sadly, though many who preach and many who listen will on that last day be surprised to learn that God has always worked through such simple means to bring about life and salvation. They will be surprised to learn that God is pleased with a person not because of what they have done, but because of what Jesus has done for them. God is pleased with those who listen and believe in his Son. "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear." This is a strange prophecy about Jesus, but about Jesus it most certainly is. Isaiah teaches us that Jesus is the servant sent by God who is himself blind. And thanks be to God for our sake that he is blind, that he is blind to our sin. He sees many things but does not observe them, Isaiah says. If he were to look upon us in our sin, he must strike us dead and we must die. He's also the one who is deaf. Deaf to all those complaints that the devil brings before him, all those accusations that he levels on our behalf. He is also deaf to our words of blasphemy and hatred toward him. He is deaf when we're angry at him and blame him for the problems in our life. If it were not so, then he must cast us out too. But Jesus did not come to judge you. He came to close his eyes and not look at your sin, to cover his ears and not hear your words of unbelief, and then to die in your place, that you would have eternal life. He was cast out of the synagogue, out of his father's house, by those who should have heard their shepherd's voice and received him. They should have rejoiced in his healing, but instead they sought to put him to death. They were jealous and filled with hate. They were self-righteous. They did not have in them the beginning of knowledge. They were foolish in their understanding of his word. And so instead of receiving his teaching, his salvation, his Sabbath rest, they stood before the very God of heaven and earth, at the very gate of heaven, and they plotted to do evil. He worked for their good while it was day, but they worked to hang him on a cursed tree while it was night. You see, there is a worse blindness than physical blindness. There's a spiritual blindness that leads to being tossed about by every false teaching, by every wave of doctrine, by being attracted to this glory theology. There is a worse doctrine than the one that these people preach. It is the one that the devil gives. It's the one that says, trust in here. Look into your heart to find the answers. But the heart is only filled with sin. There's also a greater darkness than physical darkness. There is the darkness of unrepented sin, of unbelief, that leads to a greater death than physical death. Unrepented sin, unbelief, leads to darkness, to hell, and to eternal death. But then here stands this text. Here stands Jesus, who is the light of this world, that no darkness can overcome. The one who is able to both heal physically and spiritually. The one who gives life and light. When he healed that man born blind, he used dirt and spit and then a pool of living water. And he gave sight to darkened eyes. Eyes that had been darkened because of sin, only not his sin. The sin and fallenness of this world. And then by his word, he spoke again, and he opened the eyes of faith in this man too. So the man confessed him as Lord and believed in him. It's not so much different with you. You have eyes that can physically see, but when Jesus has come and found you, he has used his water and his word to wash away your sins and give you a new heart and a living faith. He has given you eyes that see him and ears that hear his word. God has not promised that he will heal all of our human birth defects, all of our infirmities, all of our struggles in the flesh. But what does our holy and good God ever give to us that is evil? Nothing. God's not the author of evil. He's not the cause of sin, as they were blaming when they asked who sinned, this man or his parents. He is not the author of sickness and death. He is light and life. He has come to reveal his works in you, just as he did in the man born blind. He has come to give you new and real and lasting life. One day he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And on that day he will raise up your bodies and the bodies of all believers. He will recreate your body to be like his glorious body, so that there is no more sickness, there is no more death in you, and he will give eternal life to you and all believers in Christ. That's the point of this. The one who heals the flesh is also the one who heals the soul, who gives life and light. At the end of his gospel, John says, Jesus did many other signs which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This man's life, his being born blind until he was an adult, was all about God revealing his glory in this man. Everything came to the focus on that day. So it is for us as Jesus goes to the cross. For everything in our life comes to its completion in the moment of the cross. When Jesus dies for us, when he is raised from the dead for us. For there he seeks us out. There he forgives our sins. There he wipes away the spiritual blindness, and he gives us eyes of faith. He feeds us with his own flesh, with the water and the blood that pour forth from his side, and he gives us life. And so now, in these simple things, through this font and at this altar, you behold his glory, a glory that the world cannot see, that they do not know. With the eyes of faith, though, you see here the one and only sent from the Father, full of grace and truth. Your Lord knows your struggles, just as he knew this man's struggles. He's fully aware of your sins, but he will use your infirmities for his glory, and he will deliver you from the pain and suffering of this life in his good and gracious time. He carried your sins on his back and bore them in his own flesh, and he died for them. He died for you. Your sins are forgiven, wiped away, gone, as mud washed from the eyes. Therefore, with the man born blind, having heard Jesus' word, let us cling to Jesus and always say, Lord, I believe. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.